anymore. The Holy Spirit just wanted to stir you up. Usually when one area get fixed, then it line up a whole bunch of areas. Automatically. You know, it's kind of like if you fix this problem right here, then a lot of other stuff just kind of fall in place. Knock one thing out like a domino effect. You took out a bunch of them. So where is that place in your life that you say, you know what? I need to get victory in this area of my life for God to continue to use me and for me to see the glory of God. God wants to show you his glory. God wants you to see him in all of his glory. We really don't even have a grasp on how much God really wants to bless us and how great God is going to use this congregation. If you could ever see it, if you could ever get a glimpse of it, then it would help you not to compromise when you know what's at stake. Some of y'all this close and then you mess up. You get so close, you're right there on the edge of a breakthrough, and then turn and go back the other way. I'm gonna tell you, keep on pressing on. Don't stop. Keep pursuing God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my new book titled Praying Colossians 1. I'm excited about this new book because it teaches you how to pray the Colossians 1 prayer in a way that is practical, insightful, and relevant for our lives today and guaranteed to get results. You will pray the perfect will of God and be able to put into practice the principles that are outlined in this prayer. You will also increase your faith and experience a closer walk with the Lord. Your prayer life will never be the same again. To obtain your copy of my new book, Praying Colossians 1, go to our website, www.thewordcc.com or amazon.com. Or you can obtain a copy by calling 318-442-8100, and we'll get it sent to you right away. The book is available for $7.95. Order your copy today, Praying Colossians 1. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 13. St. John chapter 13, and I only want to look at verses 34 and 35 for our message this morning. St. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, recorded are these words. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, recognized by our love. Recognized by our love. It's amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ would use this symbol in order to identify through the world those people who belong unto him. Yeah. It's amazing by the very contrast of what the world shows, which is hate. But Jesus said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Yeah. And yet the world would be able to recognize us not by hatred, but by love. I think because in this world that is not our home, this place that is a preparatory ground for the believer, getting us ready for that eternal place with God, God has to allow us to suffer some in this world as Jesus has suffered, so that as Jesus was glorified, so shall we be glorified. And the greatest contrast is against hate is love, just as light is against darkness. And so in all of these similes and all of these illustrations, Jesus chooses to use the greatest of all realities to depict the children of God in this godless world who represent him and the power and the purpose of his love toward us. I have some interesting things about it, because the first thing that Jesus does is he informs them that there's a new commandment now. And so what he's literally doing is helping them to transition from the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth mentality and law, and helping them to understand now what he is instituting is a new law of love. If one takes your coat, give him your cloak also. If one compels you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. If one smacks you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. He's implementing a new reality as it relates to love and those who are loveless. He's giving to the believer the understanding that it's important to recognize that you don't fight fire with fire. But if you want to put fire out, you need to have the elements that can conquer fire. And the water in the word and the love in the word always excels and exceeds all of the destructive forces of the fire from the enemy. In other words, there are ways that you can deal with your enemy without lifting a hand to him. Matter of fact, you can hurt your enemy worse, not by using a gun or a knife, but you can hurt your enemy by doing something they don't expect you to do, and that's to show them love when they know they don't deserve it. Matter of fact, when you know your enemy is cold, you give them a coat. You know your enemy is hungry, you give them some food. You know they're thirsty, you give them some water, and the Bible says it'll heap coals. Not C-O-L-D-S, C-O-A-L-S. It'll burn them up because you've done something they did not expect you to do. They wanted you to retaliate. They wanted you to call them what they called you. They wanted you to lose your cool and your composure, but instead, you showed them love. Your pressure remains calm. Theirs go through the roof. I'm trying to help somebody here today. You can't argue unless you add your 2 cents to the situation. Sometimes the best way to hurt someone who's trying to hurt you is to say nothing. When Jesus accuses, and when those who tried to do him wrong required of him something to say, the Bible said he openeth not his mouth. And sometimes somebody said it's far wiser to appear intelligent than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. Sometimes folk think you're smarter than you are till you open your mouth. Sometimes folk think you're wiser than you are till you open your mouth. And sometimes old folk, you say, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. And Jesus teaches this kind of thing. First thing is, he informs them. He informs them because he wants them to conform to the information he's presenting to them. And it's important because he's not throwing this out just for the sake of throwing this out. He's giving them a heads up on the new commandment that is going to be the standard for all believers. Listen to what he says again. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, the disciples, those who are around him. They get to get it fresh off the press. They're receiving it straight from the Lord Jesus Christ before the printed copy was given to any believer. Listen at this. He says, that ye love one another. And then he pauses there in this comma and says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, this is what I call a wraparound love. Wraparound love. Look at what he says. He says, this new commandment is that I want you to love one another. One another. But he says, let me qualify how I want you to love them. Yeah. Not with that fickle love. Yeah. Not with that funny love. You know, you got some saints who love you with that fickle and funny love. And fickle and funny is when you do what they want you to do, they all right with you. It's all good. But the moment you dissatisfy them, disappoint them, disillusion them, they no longer love you with the love that the Lord Jesus desires you to them to love you with. It's that kind of love that again is what the old folk used to call wishy-washy. And you can't ever be confident in someone's love when it's y'all nobody, don't you? You can't ever feel comfortable enough to them to go to them and share with them your deepest concerns, your shortcomings, your misgivings, your downfall. You can't feel good because you don't know whether you're catching them on the day they love you or not. And so Jesus said, I want to qualify how I want you to love them. I want you to love them the way, as, even, same way that I love you. Yeah. Now, this introduces a whole new reality to the picture, a whole new condition, a whole new standard. If I love them the way Jesus loves me, then that means I can't be fickle no more. I can't be funny no more. I can't be wishy-washy no more. I've got to love them even when I don't love what they do. I've got to love them even if they are not in agreement with me. I've got to love them the way Christ loved me. That was unconditional and eternally. I've got to love them with a love that I've got to, listen at this, get from him in order to give to them. That means I can't love them out of this heart here alone, because this ain't good enough. I've got to love them with an agape love. That's a God love. That's the love I received from God, and that's the love I've got to love them from God. If you ever try to love folk with your love, I promise you, you'll fall short every time. Because your love is connected to your human emotions and your feelings. It's connected to the flesh. It's connected to the earth. And so there are limitations to your love. And most of us try to love folk in a godly context with an earthly love. And that's why we can't love them the way we ought to. How can you love someone who kills your son? God did. The very folk who killed God's son, he loved them enough to still save them. How can you love someone who humiliates you, embarrasses you, tortures and crucifies you? Jesus did. When he was on the cross and they were doing this, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They have no concept, no real understanding of who it is hanging here and for the purpose that I'm hanging here. I'm not hanging here for myself. I'm hanging here for them. Now that is love. Because had it been you or had it been me, I don't think you heard me. I say, had it been you or had it been me, and I'm hanging up here for your hang-ups, and you gonna spit in my face, slap me, pull the hairs out of my beard, put a stony crown on my head, and then talk about if I am who I say I am. I'm glad it wasn't me, because I would have come down and showed you who I was. No. It wasn't no mama, here's John. John, here's your... No. I'm going to show you something here right now. I might have said, gone. This is all you can give me. This is it. See, say thank God, Pastor, in Jesus. Amen. I receive that in Jesus' name. But I want you to understand that he loved us enough in his anguish, in his pain, in his suffering, not to look at self, but to still look at others. That's love. Because generally, when you do anything to the body, it causes me to look inward. It causes me to look for and to my own interest. And yet, in the midst of his suffering, he didn't look to himself, but rather he looked to the interest of the others, even those who hated him. And so he says, you've got to love as I have loved you. Now, he lifted a standard so high that there is literally not a thing that anyone can do you that will justify you not loving them. You either didn't get it or you didn't want to get that. I say he lifted a standard so high that there was literally nothing that anyone could ever do you that could ever give you any justifiable plane to stand on and say, I don't love you in Jesus' name. We look at all of the killings that are going on in our cities. And if there are Christian parents of those women who have been killed, as much as they hurt and as much as they pain and as much as there is suffering on the inside of them for the injustice that was done to their daughters, there is not one ground, not one parcel, not one piece that they can stand on to hate the ones who have murdered their daughters. That's tough. See, that's the human side. The human side would naturally make everything in you want to hate them, see them die, see them do all of this. But the love of Jesus has to go beyond the pain, the suffering, and the realities of the flesh, because in spite of those things, God still loves them. See, Christian love, real love is tough. That ain't that little pansy love, that little lights. This is real stuff. And so this is the way Jesus has said to love one another. And may I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, the only way that you can love somebody like that is with and through the love of God. And notice here again, so he says that ye also love one another. Again, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He tells them love, and he's saying this is the reality of the new commandment. You have got to love everybody. Amen. And then he turns right around in this next portion here and gives not only the information, but he gives, secondly, the inspiration, as I have loved you. And then he turns right back around that ye love one another is the confirmation. So that if you didn't know in the beginning how I want you to love, then let me share with you and then confirm again how I think this thing ought to go. Now, you can't mistake that. Turn to your brother or your sister and say, I love you. You don't have to know who they are. Turn to the other one and say, I love you. Now turn back to the first one you asked and say, do you love me? Ask the other one, do you love me? Because, see, you just might have made somebody lie right in church. Now remember now, the information he's informed us that it's a new commandment. If it's a commandment, it's not an option. I said if it's a commandment, it's not an option. We can't cut this part out of our Christian experience and say, Lord, whoo, I love you in Jesus. Oh, glory God, but I can't stand that you know what sitting up there. Or what? No, you can't cut that part out of there. You got to love her or him just like God loves you. Can I ask you a question? Have you done everything God asked you to do? Have you been everything God's asked you to be? Have you given everything God's asked you to give? I can keep on with these questions, but the point I'm trying to make is you don't have a right not to love everybody when the Lord loved you in spite of you. So listen at this. He goes on now after he deals with the information and the inspiration of the love. And I say inspiration because when you really just take some time out and think about how God loves you, how Jesus loves you, when you really take some time out and realize that you shouldn't even be here right now, shouldn't even be here. When you think about the things that you have done against him, I ain't talking about to your enemy now. I'm talking about to Jesus. So it behooves us not to get so holy than thou when we think about him on the cross and all the wrong that those Roman soldiers did to Jesus. Now listen, they had a right to do that to Jesus because they were the enemy to Jesus. But we don't have the right to do what we've done to Jesus when we consider ourselves family. When we consider Jesus our elder brother, when we consider ourselves heir and joint heirs with Jesus, how many of us know we have truly disappointed Jesus, let Jesus down, did not live up to what he's called us to be? How many times do we know that we have crucified him openly over and over again, denying him and betraying him? Don't get quiet on me now. How many of us know that we've done some worse things to Jesus than the Roman soldiers ever did to him, and yet he still loves us? If that don't inspire you, you dead. I said, if that doesn't inspire you, you're dead. So after he uses this form and mode of inspiration, because it says this to me, every time I want to hate somebody, I got to think of all the reasons he had to hate me, and yet he loves me. And so if I take a moment and do that every time I feel ill toward somebody, if I just think about what he's done for me, if I just put myself in the place of that person and recognize my connection and relationship with God, it'll make me think differently about him. Now, I still might not like him. Because a likeness and a liking has to do with external realities. So you can do some things I don't like, which means even in effect that if you keep doing them, it's not just the things you do, but it's you. Because it's but an outgrowth of you. Then I could just not like, but I got to love you. Got to love you. Got to help you. Got to bless you. Got to be there. Got to do all the things Jesus did for me. Now listen at this. Last thing, and I'm closing. He then uses identification. Talks about information, talks about inspiration, but now he talks about identification. Now here's what's interesting about it. Verse 35 says, by this. Say, by love.
By love.
Say, by love.
By love.
One more time, by love.
By love.
By love, listen, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By love. By love. By love. Shall, it's a promise, it's a certainty. All men know. You know, you don't have to go around with a big medallion You don't have to go around with a big old Bible at your job, walking around the street. You ain't even got to put a cross on your back and walk around town. You don't have to go around saying religious phrases all day. Every other word, amen. Every other word, praise God. You don't have to do any of that to be identified. Now, notice this now, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you know that there is a difference between a disciple and a member of a church? I don't want you to confuse the two. The two are mutually exclusive. He says, I said my disciples. In other words, students of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reality that when you demonstrate uncommon love, unnatural love, that is supernatural love for mankind, they are automatically going to associate you with that Jesus person. But you some kind of Christian or something? Oh, you think you Jesus, huh? It's something automatically that God, through Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, is going to invoke and evoke out of them that you must be like Jesus by your love. Not by your conversation. By your love. Not by your presentation of Scripture and your knowledge of the Word. By your love. And that's demonstration. Do you know you can show love without opening your mouth? Without saying a word, you can show love. Do you know you can teach love without opening up Scripture and showing it to people? You can teach love. You can demonstrate love in such a way that a person who does not even speak your language can still know that you have the kind of love that comes from God and from Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen. That's the kind of love. It is greater than universal love. It is eternal love, because it comes from our eternal Heavenly Father and through His Son. And it is extended to you to demonstrate. Amen. If you want to get next to your enemy, love them the way the Lord wants you to love them. Because that's not the response they're looking for. You might be living with a hellish husband or a wicked wife. I could keep on going, but I think you get the point. But stop trying to love them out of this for a moment and take it on up, like Emerald says, several notches. And love them with God's love. And you will discover that God is no shorter than His word. And listen at this. It is going to be a reality that when you do it as a reality and not just as a show. Because somebody has said all false fronts fall. If you're doing it just pretending because you got a little momentary inspiration because you got convicted on Sunday and you go try to do it Sunday night and it don't work and then you revert back to the old ways on Monday, that ain't gonna work. You got to change and be transformed by this truth. It doesn't matter what you do to me, how you feel about me. I am under warrant to love you the way the Lord loved me, and that is eternal. And I want you to know you got to have God's love in order to implement that kind of thing and feel good about it. Because you can't love with God's love and then feel bad about it. Now, wait a minute. I just did good to you. Why are you doing bad to me? You can't go to that. Ain't even your issue no more. It's all God. It's all God. I might not get what I want, but it ain't about me. It's about what God wants. And when I understand that and I utilize that and I apply that, then I will have what God says I shall have, in an identification by all men, all saved and unsaved. All men. Listen to what the text says. By this shall all men, all